Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The weather this last week wasn't that great. It was cloudy, rainy, and the wind. But this is Reformation. The sun has broken forth. In glorious light, we are surrounded by the truths of the Reformation, and we celebrate. We celebrated this morning, and this afternoon, we celebrate more. Those columns, those staircases, from bad theology, from our sinful nature, from that work righteousness that exists within us all, that led us to God when the 95 theses were posted and Scripture was opened, began to crumble. And that stairway that led us to an inaccessible God gave way to a ladder that came down from heaven. God took on flesh. And that ladder from God touched ground on a hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha. And there we meet God. We don't climb or ascend to Him. He comes down to us. And there is God, dying for your sins, marred beyond human recognition, one from whom men turn their face. There is your God, dying for your sins. For the joy set before Him, He endured that to make you His own, that we are saved by grace. And the resurrection proved it. He rose again alive, our God in human flesh, our God bearing the scars of His love for you, proclaiming to you this day, your sins are forgiven. Be not afraid. You are mine. There is much to celebrate at the Reformation, but it also begs a question that we'll consider this day. Where do we go from here? God's word for our consideration is from Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19, printed in your service program. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. This is God's word. Where do we go, my friends, from here? Sons and daughters of the Reformation, where do we turn? How do we apply this overwhelming truth that God has redeemed us, that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that God already sees us, according to our epistle lesson, with Him in heaven? Where do we go from here? Well, we're going to consider three parts this afternoon. We'll call it first gear, second gear, and third. First gear. About 150, 60, 170 years ago, our forebearers, Christian Lutherans in Europe, were persecuted by false doctrine, by the state, by their neighbors. The farms were not as big as they used to be, the soil not as fertile, but the families still large. So Lutheran mothers and fathers hugged their sons and daughters and brought them to the great rivers of Europe to board those ships for that impossible voyage to the new earth, the new land, America. And they came by the boatload. Let's go deeper. Let's go back 1,800 years earlier. Jewish Christian mothers and fathers were persecuted, driven from their land. They lost their jobs. Too many mouths to feed. So they took their sons and daughters to the Roman roads, and they traveled north and west and east to the great cities of the empire, to Corinth and Cyprus and Phoenicia and Antioch. Their Jewish Christian mothers wept to see them go. That's first gear. When God calls to himself a people, maybe you've noticed this, he always sends them out. Let's go on to second gear. About 150, 160, 170 years ago, these German mothers and their fathers of the Lutheran Reformation spoke to their pastors. And their pastors sent them to the missionary societies, and the names were written down, where they lived, where they are clearing land, where they were last known to be. And out across the great big sea went those missionaries, and they gathered Lutherans in little towns and big cities in the Midwest, across America. They gathered, and there were marriages. And there was Holy Communion, and baptism, confirmation classes, opportunities to serve. Let's go deeper. 1,800 years before that, Jewish Christian mothers and fathers talked to the church in Jerusalem and in Judea and said, "We need to send pastors and missionaries. My sons, my daughters, they live in Ephesus, in Antioch, in Corinth, in Rome." And they went. And they preached the word of God to the Jews in synagogues, in homes, down by the river, and they gathered to themselves the church. That's second gear. Why are you, strange pastor, talking about first and second gear? What is with this? It's distracting. Well, it goes back to an event in my life, and I'll share it with you. When I was 12 or 13 years old, I would spend summers and sometimes falls on my grandfather's farm, way out west and a bit north, big grain farm. And we'd help. We'd clean granaries. We'd pick rocks, clear bush. But Grandpa was awesome. He had this old International 3-on-the-tree grain truck, and he said to us at the age of 13, "Boys, you can drive it." And he taught us how. He said, "I have a couple rules. Stay on the farm, stay off of the crops, stay off of the roads, and don't go past second." He taught us how to start it, to get it into first, and to get it up into second. And we obeyed him, and we had a blast. It was amazing to be able to drive at that age. My friends were jealous, my cousins were in the back. What a wonderful gift. That's second gear. What about third? Well, when I turned 14, he took me, left the cousins and my brothers behind, out onto the road. I had my permit, and he said, "It's time to find third." What a terrifying experience in a truck like that. I'd never gone that fast in my life, but first, second, and third was up here. Never been there before. I double clutched it, threw it into gear, and away it took off, and the trees were going by, and the fields were going by, 50, 55 miles an hour. He took me to where the grain elevator was. He showed me how to haul grain, what I would do that fall. And it was tremendous. It was exhilarating. It was terrifying. That's third gear. Where do we go from here, sons and daughters of the Reformation? We go to third. For 150, 160, 170 years, we have more or less been happy in second gear. There's been exceptions, of course, but let's be honest. We're all a little afraid of third. It seems reckless. It could be dangerous. It might get messy. You're afraid, I'm afraid. But let's go deeper. Verse 20 and 21. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. You have to understand, Antioch was every Jewish mother's worst nightmare. Third largest city in the empire, like Chicago of today. It had great big walls around it, and archaeologists tell us they had all kinds of walls within it. There were 16 walled sections inside the city. You know why? Because the world met there. There was a section for the Jews, for the Romans, for the Syrians, for the Africans, for the Arabians, for the tribes to the north. They were all walled off from one another. Why? So they wouldn't kill each other. Because every culture, every race of men, no matter where they were from, thought they had some kind of monopoly on the truth, and they were better than their neighbors. So within this giant colossus of Antioch, there were all these walls. And within the walls, there was every corruption imaginable. There was cruelty, prostitution, revelry, every sin invented by man was there. Now, what did these Christians we have before us from Cyprus and from Cyrus and Cyrene, what did these Christians do? They did something revolutionary. What did they do? They found third gear. They did. And the church took off at high speed. People crossed the walls of the city to worship the one true God, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. People had to come up with a new name to call this new ethnic, this holy people, these different people, these people from all over the city were first called what? Christians in Antioch. Christians. Martin Luther posted 95 theses to the church door to spark a local dispute over some of the practices of the church, but God would use it to set the world literally on fire. Let me ask you, on this day we celebrate the Reformation, do you have the courage to find third? It's frightening. But I want you to think about it. I want you to think about all the people that you know who have touched your lives, all the people you work with, live among, who are not here. I want you to think about them. I also want you to think about all the people you would never in 100 years imagine would ever be here. Are you thinking about these people? What do you and they have in common? We're all sinners. I've not done time. I have not murdered. But the seeds of that sin is within my heart and yours. I have not cheated on my wife, but I've broken the sixth commandment. We're all the same. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you look into the intent light of God's holy law, and we know what it says. We know what is in there. We know that we can't and dare not look down our nose at another. So all those people that you never imagine, never dream would ever be here, share something in common with me and you: our sin. But what's different then? Why aren't they here? They don't know him. They haven't met God dying on that hill outside Jerusalem that fills every need. They haven't met Jesus. They have God substitutes. They look for God in every other thing, but they're let down again and again. I think of the Samaritan woman. She looked for God and men, but she had been through quite a few, and she met Jesus, who offered her living water. In our gospel lesson, Jesus offers himself as living bread. What is this bread? What is this water? It is what brings satisfaction to our soul, and we have it. We have the best product in the world, the Word of God and the sacraments. We have the opportunity to gather here and every week meet God in the flesh, every week celebrate his resurrection from the grave, eat his flesh, drink his blood, be assured and reassured of his grace and his love. Here we gather to bring our children to him in holy baptism, and here he serves a banquet of grace beyond our ability to even understand. And all the people out there are looking for this. Go and talk to them. Speak with them. Listen to them. And you'll find third. It takes courage. It's messy. But this is why we're here. As sons and daughters of the Reformation, we are here and not taken to heaven immediately at our baptism because God has called us his handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What work is better than to tell fellow beggars that this is the place where we get the free bread? And that bread is no ordinary bread. All their God substitutes and ours disappear and fly from us as God the Holy Spirit puts his name on us and assures us in 100 different ways at the banquet of his grace and love, assuring us that we are his. This is what the world needs. More comfortable in second. We like it behind our walls. Dear friends in Christ, may the love and the grace of God that we have celebrated this day move us beyond those walls and help us to throw it into third. It's terrifying. It's exciting. It's beautiful. It's time to move the Reformation forward. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake.